Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
2011 is drawing to a close. Today is the last day of bankers' hours, at least, Monday through Friday business. And we're looking ahead to 2012, and it looks like, according to a lot of polls, 2012 looks a little rosier than 2011 did. So we've asked you for your economic predictions, and you can get those to us at 877-8MYTAKE. Post your comment at thetakeaway.org. One listener in Stillwater, Oklahoma says, next year looks bleak. I'll turn 54 in 2012, which means it'll be more difficult to find a job to support my family. And a listener in Detroit texted this, the economy will continue to be mostly bad. Cities and states will keep cutting, making people more desperate. I predict riots this summer. And we got another dark prediction from a listener, Scott, in North Carolina.
The economy will be picking up due to World War III with Iran and North Korea versus the United States. It's going to be an awesome 2012, folks.
All right. Some of you are a little more optimistic, though. A listener in New York texts this. The economy is already improving. Look at the housing market. I predict 2012 will be America's most prosperous year since Clinton left office. Go Dems. All right. Our listeners are divided. America is divided. And you know what? Economists are divided, too. Joining us now, Jeffrey Madrick. He's a regular contributor to the New York Review of Books and author of Age of Greed, The Triumph of Finance, and The Decline of America, 1970 to the present. Good morning, Jeffrey.
Good morning.
And let me be clear here. You're on the pessimistic side.
Well, I don't see how when you have unemployment of 8.6%, and a slow-growing economy, and even if we grow it 2 to 3%, we'll barely get unemployment down very much. We'll get it down some. It's very hard to be optimistic. On the other hand, what we should be learning from this, instead of cheerleading about minor gains in the economy, which we may get, by the way, I'm not saying we won't. I'm saying we should keep it in perspective. We have a very long way to go. We should start focusing on what we're not doing in America and what we're doing wrong in America. The biggest threat to America is a mythology called austerity economics. If we just cut government spending, we'll all be okay again, and business somehow will miraculously come to the rescue because all they need is confidence. They had plenty of confidence in the early 2000s, and look where we got. So we have a long way to go. Can we get there? Yes. But we'll only get there if we start being realistic about what's going on.
All right. Also with us is Pippa Malmgren, who's a bit more optimistic, president, founder of Principalis Asset Management, and in charge of financial market issues for President George W. Bush while he was in the White House. Pippa, I would assume that you feel a little bit more upbeat about what may happen in 2012.
Yeah, I do, and I take the point that what I'm about to say may be cheerleading small gains, but the fact is you don't get big gains without small gains. You have to start somewhere. And what I see is, for example, manufacturing is moving from Asia back to the United States remarkably rapidly as Asian wages start to rise very dramatically. So the wage differential is starting to narrow, and people now are spending less money. So when they do spend money, they want stuff that actually works. So quality matters, which is another incentive to move manufacturing back to the U.S. So companies like, you know, Tiffany's and Brooks Brothers have moved their manufacturing to the U.S. And I think we're going to see an accumulation of individual small decisions by firms like that that cumulatively will give us a better picture over the long run. And I think also if we wait for unemployment to fall as our indicator that the future is going to be better, we're going to be not only waiting a long time, but you will have missed the investment opportunities. Because once unemployment actually falls, they'll all be gone. The market will have priced in
that's a good point.
The recovery.
All right. Pippa Malmgren and Jeffrey Madrick, both a little bit disagreeing on the outlook for 2012, at least. But I wonder if you guys have any commonalities on what you think is our biggest obstacle. Obviously, many of the ratings agencies feel as though the biggest obstacle is political and not economic, that the disagreement in Washington is holding back economic growth for the country. Jeffrey, let me begin with you. What do you think is our biggest stumbling point?
Well, as I mentioned, I think our biggest stumbling point is austerity economics.
So that's political.
Austerity economics. It's being practiced in Europe. Europe Europe is the biggest danger for the U.S. right now if Europe, if the Eurozone collapses. I actually think there's a better chance it will not collapse than won't, but the risk is very serious. When I say better, 55-60% chance it won't collapse. But austerity economics has two parts. One is this political stalemate. This idea that a lot of Republicans somehow think, and some Democrats think, that Americans only want to hear about balancing the budget in the near term and cutting spending, and indeed even cutting social programs like Social Security and Medicare. I think this is very wrong-headed, especially in the near term. Our biggest danger is that economists are also applauding, and even mainstream and even some Democratic economists are asking for near-term a budget balancing. This is disastrous. Americans cannot spend money because they are underwater in terms of their own balance sheet. Private citizens and private companies are simply not spending money. They are deleveraging, as economists put it. In that kind of environment, you need government to spend or you run the danger of a very slow-growing economy for a very long time.
All right, let me get to...
We're not talking about investment opportunities here.
Yeah,
let me get to Pippa's.
Let Pippa get her last word in here. Pippa Malmgren, what do you think? Do you agree that austerity is the biggest danger to the economic growth?
No, I don't. And I think America's in a much better position than most of the other industrial countries. And the bottom line is everybody's going to work 10 years longer. They may not like it, but they'll do it in the United States. If you suggest that to a European, they'll start torching the nearest car. So we have a very different attitude to how to manage that problem in the longer run. So I think that's not the biggest issue. For me, the biggest issue is supporting small business because they generate 2/3 of the net new jobs in our economy. And so any obstacle in their way, in my view, has got to be removed, and only politics can remove those obstacles.
Well, you guys are both pointing to political issues, though, there, Pippa.
Yeah, well, there's no doubt, and politics is going to play a much larger part in the economy, I think, going forward. That's a function of the financial crisis, as people experienced massive losses in various different ways. They have to turn to politics to provide... What are the new rules of the game?
That argues, though, that if we have a big change in our political process, that would mean a big change in the economy. Pippa Malmgren, president and founder of Principalis Asset Management. Jeffrey Madrick, regular contributor to the New York Review of Books and author of Age of Greed, The Triumph of Finance and the Decline of America, 1970 to the present.